Welcome to the roundtable for this second day of February. It is the Fun Drive. Day one, 2026. We are thrilled to have you with us. Great job to both Andrew Waite and Ray Graff this morning. Wonderful, wonderful work. And to all of our volunteers, to everyone in the staff, to all the people, we have so far raised, get this, folks, get this, $740,652. My goodness, that's a lot of money. I'm going to get to where we want to be in the next 50 minutes in just a second. I just want to say, reminder, we're going to have roundtable panels every day that the Fun Drive goes on. And then when the Fun Drive is over, we'll go back to our regular schedule of panels. And we've never done this before, doing panels during the Fun Drive. We're thrilled to do it. But to do it, we really depend on you to support us as we're here and we're talking. We feel these conversations are vitally important to be had. We will have them in just a second. But they also need your support. WAMC.org. 1-800-323-9262. There's a room full on the other side of the glass. There's a room full of real live people taking phone calls. You can reach them at 1-800-323-9262. You can also go to WAMC.org. We have exciting news here. We are $9,352 away from being at the 750 mark of the Fun Drive, $750,000. We have our friends Terry and Jim. You know Terry and Jim.
Oh, yes, I do.
Yes,
you know Terry and Jim.
We all know Terry and Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Emler.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, Terry and Jim in Albany is going to give us $2,600 if we get to 750 by 10 o'clock this morning. So that is just 48 minutes from now.
How much do you need altogether?
What's
left of the chunk?
What's left of the chunk is $9,352.
We're doing 1,000.
Okay.
Okay.
Do we know that?
No, not yet. I just said it.
Okay. All right. We'll put it on paper.
Right. We will.
1-800.
There you go. So now we only need 8,000.
Yeah, it just has to go in the
right.
system here, or it
right.
doesn't. I can't count
Hear
it.
Hear that, folks?
1-800-323-9262. All right. So that's great. All right. You heard that. We can do this. 1-800-323-9262. The promise is that we're going to spend as much time on the panel as possible, but I will be jumping in every once in a while to remind you of how important it is to pledge and how important it is to get to this challenge so we can be at the $750,000 point, which actually will bring us to the 752.6 point in the drive, which is even nicer. Thank you all for what you've done. Keep doing it. WAMC.org, WAMC.org. All right, let us start with our fantastic panel. We have the Executive Vice President for Academic Affairs at Bard College, Director for the Center for Civic Engagement, and Professor of Political Science. Jonathan Becker joins us via the telephone. Good morning, Jonathan. How are you?
Hi, Joe. I'm doing great. Calling from Annandale-on-Hudson, and I wish I could be there with you all.
Well, we love having you here. We did offer to some of our people who drive hours and hours that, like, we're only going to be on for, like, 50 minutes. If you want to stay home and do it, we understand. And we're trying to be responsible for both our panelists and the environment. Jonathan, it's a great pleasure to have you here. What are your charges? Jim Ketterer is here, Senior Fellow, Bard Center for Civic Engagement. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning. Happy to be here. It's 10 degrees out, but it's only 7 days until spring training starts.
I know.
And so
That's it?
Just
seven?
I have a spring training counter on my computer.
Oh, you're
and
lucky.
Just keeping me hopeful. I also just want to say something about the Fun Drive. So I've said this before, but I'll say it again. I've lived in places that have governments that specifically turn off the source of information, and that's highly problematic in all the ways that you can imagine. There are powerful people who would like to turn off this source of information. And so when I've been on the roundtable many times, people will write in and say, okay, here's the situation. What can we do? this is one of those things you can do. You can make sure that these microphones stay live and that this radio station stays live and stays as a source of information, because I've seen firsthand what happens in places where it's not there. And once that's gone, it's very hard to bring it back.
Oh, there's a reason you're on the first day, man. That was good. Very, very good. Thank you, Jim. And thanks to everybody. You can help out, WAMC.org, 1-800-323-9262. The best, the brightest, my dear friend Libby Post is here. Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm well.
Oh, good.
Nice to have you here.
Fun. We're having a good time.
We're having a good time. We've got about 45 minutes and some money to make, and away we go. 1-800-323-9262. But we're going to get to the news here as promised. Oh, hey, you know, the government shut down. Oh, yeah, that's a thing. The House GOP is searching for votes to reopen the government with a razor-thin majority. House Democrats have indicated privately that they do not plan to support the plan, leaving Democrats to, you know, go it alone. The House returns to Washington this week with plans to find enough votes in the narrowly divided chamber to reopen the federal government, which has been partially shut down since Saturday morning after funding lapsed. It won't be simple. Many House Democrats do not plan to support the deal that Senate Democrats struck with the White House. House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries told House Speaker Mike Johnson last week that his party would not help pass the package without numerous additional restrictions on immigration enforcement. That, according to two senior House Democratic aides who spoke on the condition of anonymity. So let's go right to it. As far as the deal that Senate Democrats struck, why, Jim Ketterer, would the House not go along with this?
Well, when I was doing some reading this morning on the latest government shutdown, I was thinking, you know, this is like Groundhog Day.
Yes.
But you know what?
It is
Groundhog Day.
It is Groundhog Day. And oh, by the way, Ray Graff saw a shadow and we have 6 more weeks of fun.
Six more weeks of fun, Troy.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Yeah. Okay.
And, Puxatony Phil.
Also saw a shadow.
Also saw a shadow. I don't know about Staten Island Chuck.
Don't know.
Not sure. But yeah, we definitely have winter. You know, I just want to step back a second, and the Groundhog Day aspect of this, that this happens over and over and over again. I do think that there's a certain amount of fatigue with most people, and they just don't take it that seriously. But I also think it has a cumulative effect on people's perceptions of our political institutions, and specifically the institution of Congress, which never really ranks that high in people's perception, but the sense that it just can't get anything done. It can't do the business of governing. It can do politics all the time, but it just can't do the business of governing. And that really does have a deleterious effect on the perception of our political institutions, and a real effect on our body politic. And it opens the door for, guess what, a hyper-powerful executive to fill that political vacuum.
Yeah.
And so we can see with other political systems that have our system of government, this presidential system of government, when the institutions become paralyzed and when they're not seen as legitimate, that leads to many other problems that we see. I mean, this is part and parcel of the broader problems. In terms of this specific one, the deal on Department of Homeland Security, the behavior of ICE and CPB, you know, so a deal on whether they can wear body cams or not. But then conservative Republicans digging in their heels on still wanting the ICE agents to wear masks, to not wear IDs, and the question of the use of warrants, which is constitutionally required, still kind of up in the air. There was a great piece in the New York Times recently by Ben Rhodes, who worked for Barack Obama.
It was a great piece.
Yeah, really good piece on the overall you know, the deeper problem with the Department of Homeland Security, the trend toward the militarization of law enforcement in general following the 9/11 attacks, and that it's a problem that has been, you know, put in stark relief by this administration in all the ways that we're going to talk about today. But it's a problem that precedes this administration and really takes serious and thoughtful leadership to figure out where we should go from here. But where is that serious and thoughtful leadership going to come from?
1-800-323-9262, WAMC.org, to help out during our special panel edition of the fund drive, and we're very excited to have you. We have $2,600 on the table as a challenge. We need to raise $8,805 now. Please do what you can. We have until 10 o'clock, 1-800-323-9262 or WAMC.org. Libby Post.
Well, you know, Jim said something to the effect of political leadership. And we don't have political leadership.
Wink.
Yeah, we don't have political leadership in Washington, D.C. right now in the White House. That's for sure. We have somebody who likens himself to an authoritarian dictator. And that's not leadership, that's for sure. It'll be interesting to see what the Democrats end up doing. I think that Jeffries has a good enough handle that his people will walk. And I'm not sure all the Republicans are going to vote for this, to be quite honest with you. There are plenty of Republicans who are like, this is not what I signed up for. Even the ones who are in Congress. This isn't what I signed up for. And they're hearing it at home. I mean, Michael Lawler had a town hall thing at one of the local colleges. I think at Dutchess Community College, I think it was. I saw it this morning. And he was heckled. I mean, you know, people are not happy, and people on both sides of the aisle are not happy with what's going on. And we just flipped a deep red state Senate seat in Texas, where Trump won by 24 points or something like that, and the Democrat was elected. This is an indication of what's coming. I mean, we saw it in 2025. We're going to see it even bigger in 2026. I have a feeling the government will be shut down, and it's a little hard for them to continue to blame the Democrats when the people don't like what's going on.
The Texas was amazing because it was the official party line was it's just one seat.
Yeah, yeah.
And then followed by inside sources of the Republican Party say they are deeply rattled.
Yes.
Well, I don't know how you couldn't be.
Right.
Really.
Yeah.
1-800-323-9262, WAMC.org, WAMC.org. We need $8,483 to make our goal. And we have about 37 minutes to do it in. 1-800-323-9262, WAMC.org. This is to get us to the $750,000 point. We'll be there on day one of the actual fund drive if you can help us out. We have a $2,600 challenge on the table. Jonathan Becker, what do you make of all of this?
Look, first of all, I'd like to say that I think the government will open sooner than the Kennedy Center, which seems to be, you know, talk about authoritarian spleen and lashing out. I mean, that the Kennedy people won't perform there, so we're going to close it for 2 years.
But I'm glad you're still calling it the Kennedy Center, Jonathan.
Yeah. I guess I'll get in trouble officially for not calling by its artificial name. Look, you know, I agree with Jim about the threats to our understanding of government and a non-functioning government. But I'm more sympathetic to the idea of when are you going to draw a line? And first of all, let's understand what we're talking about. We're talking about will they pass a measure keeping the government open for 2 weeks, the DHS part open for 2 weeks before we argue about what the issue is really about, which is the out-of-control paramilitary group that Trump has created, which is between ICE and Border Patrol. And I think that a number of Democrats, and I think the demands on them are that they cannot relent to things like agents wearing masks and having warrantless or administrative warrants as opposed to judicial warrants so that people's houses can be broken into and people can be detained without a judicial order. So I think that this is going to be not easily resolved. It's possible that Mike Johnson can get enough Republicans on board to keep the government open in a few days, but that's going to postpone the big fight. And the big fight is over DHS. And hearing about this, hearing things like, we will only pass legislation if we can get the SAVE Act approved, which is an act which would have incredible restrictions on registering to vote. This linkage like Pam Bondi had last week, that is cause for concern. But I think that Democrats feel that they need to draw a line in the sand, that the Preddy killing has shifted the conversation, and that this is the moment. So I don't see easy ways out of this. And even when the government is kept open for a bit, that will just be a prelude to the big fight over DHS, which is a fight that we need to have, and it's the fight that people should be willing to have at this point in time.
1-800-323-9262 to help us out. We are $7,899 away from making our goal by 10 o'clock this morning. We want to get to the $750,000 point. We have a $2,600 challenge for the panel from a panelist, and we're very excited. 1-800-323-9262. We just need you. 1-800-323-9262. You can listen and pledge at the same time. You do it all the time when you're watching movies and you're on your laptop or on your device. You know how to do this by now. And if not, just give us a quick call, and there'll be some breaks and stuff that you can do it there as well. WAMC.org, 1-800-323-9262. Also, a reminder, we will go to a couple of listener letters, not as many as normal, but we will go to some listener letters. We welcome those. Panel@WAMC.org. Panel@WAMC.org. So I asked Jim this question, but Jonathan, I mean, how do you think when the president sort of thinks, oh, I know the person I'll call to help me out is Chuck Schumer. Like, what world are we living in when that happens?
It's a world that I don't know very well, but it seems like Mike Johnson needs a paddle, and maybe they think that Schumer can move the House Democrats to move this forward. I don't see that happening readily. I mean, you know, underlying, I just want to say one other thing. Underlying this is just this phenomenal lie, right? It drives me crazy whenever we hear talk about what is going on. The first two talking points of every Republican spokesman on every TV channel are, this is what the nation voted for. Trump was elected, and this is what the nation voted for. And that just isn't true. And that's what's going to underlie this fight. The nation did not vote for arresting people who have been here for 25 years living with their families. It is this lie that, you know, they talked about arresting the worst of the worst, right? And that's not true, clearly. And what they allied the issue. They conflate people who have violated the law, who is anyone who is here illegally, and those who have committed violent crimes, of whom an extremely small percentage of the people who have been detained or arrested have committed violent crimes. So it is this fundamental lie about what they are doing. And I would just say the other thing is, you know, the real issue is the president has created a huge paramilitary force which responds to him. And that is incredibly dangerous for this country. So I hope Charles Schumer shows some spine at this moment. And I hope that the House Democrats do, because it is really, really fraught moment for this country when we're seeing the fight of the House Republicans to make sure people can go with masks on. I mean, that's insane.
I got to hold you there just because we have to take a break, but I promise we'll get back to it after the break. Keep calling. We need your help. WAMC.org, 1-800-323-9262. We'll give you an update right after this news from BBC. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning during a fun drive. February 2026, and we are very excited to be going on. It's our first roundtable panel during the fun drive. This is so cool that we get to talk to you during the fun drive. While we're making money, we can do two things at one time. It's quite impressive. At least for our spouses who say, really, you can do that? We are $7,216 away from making our $2,600 challenge to get us to the $750,000 point in the entire drive. That is an amazing morning and will be an amazing achievement, but we need to make roughly $7,000 in the next 26 minutes. So whatever you got in you, please help us out. 1-800-323-9262, WAMC.org, WAMC.org. Jonathan, I had to cut you off there to get to the news break, but final comments?
Final comments are that I never imagined a day when people in Congress would be vigorously fighting so that we could avoid judicial warrants and allow people to go on the street with masks on who are accountable to no one. And that is a very dark day in the country, and it calls for extraordinary action.
I know you want to do jump in on this, Jim, as well.
Yeah, just about the creation of the paramilitary force that Jonathan is talking about. So if you put the funding together for ICE and Customs and Border Patrol, those two together, these two organizations that are working in concert in Minneapolis, but in other places too that are not getting as much news, they are funded at a level that is a higher level than any military around the world except for Russia and China. I'm not talking about our military. I'm just talking about ICE and CBP. And so the creation of these kinds of paramilitary forces that are advancing the political agenda of an administration, this, again, is right out of the kind of thing that you see in other places that have highly problematic regimes. It's standard operating procedure. It has not been standard operating procedure in the United States. And so to Jonathan's point, to see that it's not only happening, but is actively supported by far too many members of Congress is astounding. In terms of the question of why Trump would go to Schumer for the deal, I think number one, the Senate is just, you know, it operates under different rules than the House. Senators are beholden to statewide constituencies, and House members have small, for both parties, have small, very expertly drawn districts. And so I think Trump rightly saw more possible wiggle room on the Senate side than he was ever going to find on the House side.
1-800-323-9262. You look hesitant.
Well, you know, I think Chuck got skewered the last time around the shutdown because he acquiesced in a sense because he knows what happens when there's a government shutdown. It's not just about ICE and the rest of it. It's about SNAP. It's about all the other programs that were supposed to be funded. Now, all of those programs have been decimated, right? People are starving in the streets, and this administration really doesn't care. So I think Chuck will be in a position to play a little more hardball with Trump. They are both New Yorkers. We'll see how it goes, you know? But it's important for there to be a shutdown, and then it's even more important on some levels for the government to reopen in a way that we can support it. So It's not easy either way.
22 minutes. We need $6,500 to get to our challenge and to get to the $750,000 point in the drive. We have a challenge on the table of $2,600 from our friends Terry and Jim in Albany. $2,600 that we lose if we don't make it by 10 a.m. If we were going to make $10,000, we have $6,500 left. Let's go. 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-WAMC. WAMC.org. And we welcome your letters, too. Panel@WAMC.org. Panel@WAMC.org. Let's move on to other topics as we try to get to as many things as we possibly can on this fun drive morning. So we are talking about Minnesota. We are talking about the tensions there. The question remains, can Tom Homan de-escalate tensions? The White House border czar wants to focus more on getting immigrants already in jails. He'll have to persuade Democrats to do it. Tom Homan was livid. It was 2028, not long after Jerry Brown, then California's governor, had signed a sanctuary state law that walled off the jails from Immigration and Customs Enforcement. It crippled the jail-to-ICE pipeline that Mr. Homan helped perfect during the Obama administration when he oversaw deportation officers at ICE. 8 years later, Mr. Homan will get a chance to show that focusing on jails and public safety threats is the best way to meet President Trump's demand to deport record numbers of migrants. But to do so, he will have to bring along Democrats who have loudly rejected calls to cooperate with ICE. Does this make sense, Libby?
I don't think Tom Homan's going to go there and do anything different. It's just a different face and perhaps different rhetoric. I don't think Tom Honan's going to trash an Orthodox Jewish federal judge like Bovino did. And I don't know if everybody read that, but that did happen. You know, Honan's not going to do anything.
I know, surprisingly, from the guy who dresses like a Nazi.
I know. Well,
yeah,
you know how
so
it is.
Weird. It's really is. Very odd. Okay,
yeah.
Go ahead.
I don't think Honan's going to do anything that Trump doesn't want him to do. They will keep things going. They may be a little more calm about it. There may be no more shootings. He may say, do not kill civilians. But I think they're going to keep doing what they're doing. They're going to keep going into people's homes. They're going to keep pulling people out of cars. They're going to keep being the brown shirt bullies that they are.
1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-WAMC. We need you now as we soldier on here in the next 19 minutes to get to 10 o'clock and to make get to the $750,000 point. We welcome you. 1-800-323-9262. Right now we're in the 4900Z, so that's good. 1-800-323-9262. But there's still work to do in the next 18, 19 minutes. Jim.
Well, first, I think if Tom Homan is the voice of reason.
Right. That's the problem.
This is a sign of where we are. And you just need to do a little Googling on Tom Homan and his statements and activities over the past few months. And you'll see that he's definitely not the voice of reason and certainly likely to and certainly is going to advance what this administration has been up to already, as Libby said. And, you know, I just think, and this goes back to what Jonathan was saying before about the activities of ICE and CBP, that the immigration control is the excuse to put these forces in Minneapolis now. And, you know, Minneapolis is not an island. It's not just one problem that it's once it's solved and the problem is solved. I mean, this is a game of whack-a-mole by design. done by the administration. And if it's Minneapolis this week, it'll be another city next week and another city the following week. I am absolutely convinced that the deployments of these kinds of troops to behave in this sort of way has everything to do with the elections in November, has everything to do with what was revealed in part by Pam Bondi's letter to Minnesota authorities that was requesting certain kinds of election data. It is connected to the raid that we saw in Georgia and the seizing of election data. It is connected to the president of the United States saying that Barack Obama should be arrested. You know, when you're the president of the United States, words matter. They really matter. And these are the words from him directly. So
I just want to add recently, like this is in
this is in last few days.
Yes, this is not this isn't a throwback. This is recent.
Yeah, this is after the raid in Georgia.
Yes.
After Tulsi Gabbard, who is the director of national intelligence, which is by law forbidden from carrying out its activities within the United States, but she was there at the raid. So not only is that strange, it's quite possibly illegal. But part of it was, you know, attempting to uncover how in some way or another Barack Obama was involved in this conspiracy around the 2020 elections. But the focus back on the 2020 elections, I think, has everything to do with the 2026 elections. Mm-hmm. And Libby, you were talking earlier about, you know, the coming wave and the midterm elections and, you know, from your lips to God's ears, because not just about the result of those elections, but I am deeply concerned about the ability to have truly free and fair elections across this country. I think that the administration sees the result of these elections as existential and for them, and they will stop at nothing to undermine them.
We want to continue to bring you these important conversations, allow you to weigh in and also to hear from our experts on the variety of issues that are shaping the daily dialogue. If you want to keep that going and keep that happening on your radio dial, we need your help. We've lost our federal funding. We're doing it alone. And we're doing quite well, but we need you. WAMC.org, 1-800-323-9262. We have a $2,600 challenge. Think of that, $2,600 if we get to the $750,000 point in this drive. And we are about $4,400 away from that. And we've got 14 minutes. So let's go, everybody. 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-WAMC. Jonathan Becker.
Well, I was waiting for Holman to offer free tickets to Melania to bring everyone in Minnesota together.
Yeah, you know, we thought that would be a good fund drive premium, too, but it didn't come through.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
I can't imagine. I mean, first of all, I just want to tell the listeners, Jim spent a lot of time in the Middle East, in Egypt in particular. I've spent a lot of time in Russia, in the former Soviet space, so if you hear alacrity in our voices, it's in part because we have witnessed this road before and have been thinking about it and talking about it for many, many years. You know, I think you have a structural problem, which is you created this large paramilitary force and you're expanding it, and you've created these perverse incentives to arrest people. And as long as that dynamic exists, I don't see a radical change. You could have, you know, again, I agree with you. If Tom Holman is the voice of reason, where are we right now? And if you listen to Trump himself, he's already walking back some of the softening tone. And if you listen to Stephen Miller, who's the chief ideologist, as far as I can tell, of the Trump regime, they're not relenting whatsoever. So this is a really critical moment. You know, yes, is Tom Holman an improvement over Greg Bovino? And thank you, Libby, for pointing out, you know, his anti-Semitic attacks on a judge. Yes, he is an improvement, but the bar is so low and the dynamic isn't changing. And that is why I think the fight over this DHS funding and trying to draw a line is so important. It's also why, if I may, February 1st, yesterday marked the anniversary of the sit-in at the lunch counter in Greensboro, North Carolina.
Yeah.
My friends in North Carolina A&T State University called them the North Carolina A&T 4. Other people called them the Greensboro 4, and they were backed up by Bennett College. And I just wanted to say that resistance is important at times like this, and the people of Minnesota who stood up and are resisting what is going on deserve huge kudos at this really critical time for our country. And just one last plug, which is it's also why you need to support WAMC, so support the fund drive.
Please.
And Joe did ask me to say that.
No, but I thank you very much. 1-800-323-9262, WAMC.org. We're $4,200 away. We're so close. We needed $10,000. Now we need $4,200 to make $2,600 to get us to the $750,000. That is so many numbers that I really can't comprehend all that, but I hope you could. WAMC.org, 1-800-323-9262. We'll see how this all turns out on the season finale. No, after this short break. A lot of questions about our world at large. Another question is, can we make $4,000 in the next 10 minutes to make a $2,600 challenge, which would bring us to the $750,000 point in this fund drive? We can do this if you open your hearts and pocketbooks and wallets and whatever, wherever else you keep cards and money. 1-800-323-9262, WAMC.org. Let's see if we can do this. $4,000 in 10 minutes to get us $2,600 and to get us to the $750,000 point. We continue our conversation with our brilliant panelists. Does anybody else want to say anything in regards to Minnesota?
I just want to clarify that the person that Bean Bovino was being anti-Semitic about was not a judge, but a Trump-appointed federal attorney. So they're eating their own now.
Oh, dear.
Right.
1-800-323-9262. We now need $2,800 to make $2,600 to get us to the $750,000 point in the drive. All right, let's go to our final topic of the morning. And let's see, we want to go to this story. By the way, thank you. We have a lot of nice notes from people that are that like the format that we're doing this time around. And so kudos to everybody that like that and are helping out. It means the world to us. Okay, finally. Hey, every conversation we've had over the last 200 years has been about, whatever we're doing now is a distraction from the Epstein files.
Right.
And now the Epstein files have sloppily been released and there are just they had it for a really long time to figure it out, but victims' names are included, pictures of victims, it's a thing, we have information. We know more, maybe, than we knew before. This is a tremendous amount of information that has come out. News services and many, many organizations are looking at this information closely to see exactly what's there, what's happening. Of course, Trump is saying, well, this is, this completely
exonerates me.
Yeah, right. So I'm good to go. Jim Ketterer.
This is just the story that won't go away. I mean, there's so many other things to discuss. There's so many things going on in the United States, going on around the world, areas of concern. And this just keeps coming back and back and back. And I think the question is, why won't it go away as a story? Why does it have legs? And I think at the core of it, people across the political spectrum, the left and the right and in between, are just sick and tired of rich, entitled men who are able to behave badly and in many cases criminally and not be held accountable. That there is a system that appears to be relevant for the rest of us. And then for those who have the resources, the connections, they're able to skate free, literally free. And that just deeply angers people, and it should anger people. And it gets back to what I was saying before about just kind of the deep rot at the core of our institutions. And this I think is a real issue. I mean, obviously the treatment of the victims and their inability to find justice is real, and this needs to be seriously pursued. But the deeper question of who gets away with behaving in this sort of fashion is just gets under people's skin, and it's not going to go away until it's fully revealed and people are held accountable, including people who are not just named and shamed, but, you know, headed off to jail.
But it's the held accountable part that we're really that seems, I mean, as a cynic, I think, well, okay, is that going to happen? And I guess I've been, the whole time we've said about the Epstein files, we're going to release the Epstein files, the Epstein files, the Epstein files. The question was always going to be, well, will these people ever be held accountable for their actions? And, you know, Randy Andy was stripped of his royal titles when he's on all fours on top of a child. However, he's still bringing in 30 million euros a year from the trust that he has from his grandmother. Jonathan Becker, I mean, how much, what do we do about the accountability aspect of this? We have 4 minutes, by the way, and we need $1,500. Go ahead. And Libby. Go ahead.
Yeah, I want to take a half step back. I mean, it's not only men. Ghislaine Maxwell, who has been held accountable, who has been found guilty, is being dangled opportunities of escape from accountability. It's already been shifted into prison, and Trump is dangling a pardon. I mean, to me, I don't know why that isn't a bigger story. To me, it is sort of the great representation of the corruption of Trump, which is on the one person who's in jail right now. Maybe there's a few others, but the most important person, is being dangled a release from this. So there's no accountability without her. And as Congress is trying to issue a resolution to hold the Clintons accountable, why they are silent about her treatment already, and the president should be pressed to declare that he refuses to consider a pardon, not that he just hasn't done it yet, that he has a right to, which is what he would say. There's other interesting bits and pieces about all the people who have lied about their relationships with Epstein.
Well, I
think accountability is going to have to be public, not through the courts, I'm afraid.
Quickly, want to go to Libby. Go ahead.
The bottom line here as to why there's no accountability is because the victims were women and girls. Period. End of story. This society does not care. In a very general overview kind of way, we have the predator-in-chief in the White House. He got reelected. People knew what was going on. But it's just women. It's just girls. It's really not that big of a deal. What'll be interesting to see is what his base, what the MAGA conspiracy theory base ends up doing, because they wanted the truth to come out. Now, I always found that interesting, because what's truth to them, right? What is truth to them? And so we have women who have killed themselves because of this. We have women and girls whose lives have been ruined because of this. And because they're women, there really won't be accountability.
I want to thank all of you, of course, all of our panelists, Jonathan Becker, Jim Ketterer, and Libby Post. Thanks to Terry and Jim in Albany for putting up $2,600. Thanks to Libby and Lynn for adding $1,000 to making 12. That happen. What was it?
$1,200.
You're a guy.
That's what was on the
You're a
button.
Good human being. And we have made our goal.